If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. It's great to be back. A lot going on, but obviously it's great to be back with the Busted Open Nation. And we have a very, very special Falls Count Anywhere Friday. It's not only myself, we have the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer, and we have WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, a world champion in not one, not two, but three different sports, Mark Henry, on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, and it's great to be back. We have some amazing stories from the road and in the ring with Mark Henry and Tommy Dreamer. Also, we get into fan interaction and what makes pro wrestling so special over other forms of entertainment and sport. And we also get into Rob Gronkowski and him becoming a WWE superstar. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. What's going on, boys?
Good morning. How are you, my
good
friend?
Good morning, guys.
This is weird. This is really weird. I'm in studio. Dave's at home. Mark's at home. But these are weird times, so let's we adapt. That's what we do.
I'll say this. You know, this wasn't planned, but I'm glad that Mother Marissa got the three of us together to do the show this morning. There was not a Busted Open yesterday for reasons beyond all of our control, and I have to give kudos to Mother Marissa, Steve Cohen, and, of course, SiriusXM for taking the safety of their employees at heart. And hopefully we can move forward. And I'm glad that we're on the air today, gentlemen. I'm actually doing the show from home for the first time in the almost 11 years that this show has been on the air. For a first time at the Palatial LaGreca Estates in Fairlawn, New Jersey. So this is really weird for me.
I have a question about that. Like, sure. So how do you feel about being at home, Dave? Do you feel like you're missing something at work, or do you feel like, wow, this is really comfortable?
A little bit of both, actually.
There's
a part of me that's saying, you know what? I could get used to this. I'm sitting in a lounge chair. I got my big screen TV to the right. The lovely Violetta LaGreca is here as well. The dogs, the cats, it's pretty crazy. But there's a part of being at home at SiriusXM and doing it from the studio, and this is just a weird vibe. I think you would all agree that this whole week has been a weird vibe, and especially the last 48 hours. So hopefully, Mark and Tommy, we can be an escape to the Busted Open Nation.
That would be nice.
I have learned anything from professional wrestling, and Mark was there too. We were the first company, the WWE, to do a live event after 9/11. This has some serious after 9/11 vibes because it's a lot of fear and we don't know what's going on. And it was Vince McMahon who straight up said, if anyone doesn't want to go out there and perform, I totally understand it. But it's our job to put smiles on people's faces. And I kind of, when coming into work today, there was nobody on the train even coming into Sirius today. It's like it's closed. There's nobody here except for the four people in this studio right now. But it is our job because we're all afraid. And we're surrounded by negative on social media. I feel there's a social media pandemic of everything negative, negative. But I want to be with my wrestling family, people I love, Mark, Dave, Bully, I like, and but also like the Nation. And it's been my life since I'm 18 years old to go out there and perform. That's all I know. And I will continue to perform, and I will not risk my health or the health of my family. But if I have to do this from home, or, you know, we don't know what's going to be on, but we're all in this together. So I just want people for the next 3 hours to enjoy ramblings of three idiots. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, that, speak for yourself, sir. I want to go on and let you know what happened yesterday. I went on a radio show, and they were like, man, what are we going to talk about? Like, well, there's no sports, and the only thing that's talked about is the coronavirus. And this. And I said, I have a suggestion. And they were like, what's the big suggestion? I said, pro wrestling. Pro wrestling. Start covering pro wrestling, every facet of it, every company around the world. You will have plenty to talk about. And they were like, oh, man, that people are still wrestling? I said, listen.
Oh, boy.
When the world shuts down, pro wrestling still will be running stuff. We always will, always. I mean, during the Civil War, you can go in and look up John Cosper's book. He did a whole in-depth story on Jim Mitchell. And they were talking about in the book during the Civil War times that Ulysses Grant was putting on wrestling shows for the troops. Wow. So, I mean, like, whether it's war or pandemic or an epidemic, there still will be wrestling.
That's great. I mean, you know what? For this world right now, you're absolutely right, too, Mark, because XFL is shut down, NHL, NBA, and really when it comes to the
MLB.
World of pro wrestling, MLB like is obviously going to delay the start of their season because spring training is shut down. But as of right now, we still don't know the future of WrestleMania in Tampa.
Well, we know we'll have SmackDown tonight. And you know, yep. A lot of people are giving the WWE flack for not making announcements. I don't hold anybody, I guess, responsible for their decisions for their business. I know a friend of mine who's like, I probably will lose my life's fortune in about 2 more weeks. And I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to do any of that because he has like a mom and pop deli. And he's like, no customers are coming in. Wow. And, you know, something like the WWE, there's such the ripple effect. I know what I would do if I was running WWE. I would probably do like Mark posted a picture, an empty arena WrestleMania. And I would stream it on the network, and I would guarantee everybody would watch it, or people on pay-per-view would watch it, just for the fact of there's something to watch. And as long as, you know, the athletes are tested and everyone is, you know, wants to do it, then you go ahead and you do it. That would be me if I was running this, you know, gigantic organization. Again, post 9/11, we were afraid of our safety. We were afraid of all these things going in, but all the wrestlers showed up to work. And if I could just backtrack my week last week, and I want to say the difference of wrestlers and the difference of the wrestling mentality. It's no longer news, but Scott Steiner, he had an incident in the locker room, and he passed out. I thought he was having an epileptic seizure, and I'm literally holding his hand, and he is dying in my hands, and I'm talking to him, I'm yelling at him, and the medics are there, and now they're working on his heart, and he died and came back to life in my arms. Literally, once the medics said, you know, you got to let us do our work, I ran to the ring and did my run-in, and I got hit in the face with a cane by Raven. I got jumped by a bunch of different people, which you'll see on Access Television. As soon as my spot was over, I ran to the back and ran back in and was yelling and talking to Scott Steiner as they brought him back. I went to the hospital where it's just his wife, and you know, I know her, but I don't know her. Now I'm happy I'm, you know, friends with her. And we're sitting in the waiting room of the hospital, and here comes the surgeon. He's talking about all this different stuff, and then he's talking about, you know, well, we're worried about, you know, possible brain damage because we don't know. And like, I'm now telling the doctor everything that happened. His brother Rick is there now. He walks in. He goes, brain damage. My brother's always had brain damage. But that is us being wrestlers. And then Rick says,
we desensitize things.
But we also, like, and like, people are like, you know, should the show go on? Should that stuff happen? I went and saw Scott the next day. He's ready to make a full recovery. Everything is fine. And he was just like, he laughed that I did the run-in. And, you know, but he was like, thank you for not leaving my side. And but like, me telling him that I did the run, and he goes, man, you made that run, and like, good for you. And even like, his brother was like, I wouldn't give him mouth to mouth. He goes, I'd kick his heart, but I wouldn't like pump him. I told him, if that ever happens, you're done. And like, we're just like joking about stuff like that, because that's our mentality. And yeah, I know it may sound strange to other people, but you know, at times I look at it like, hey man, here's Friday was a very bad day for Scott Steiner. Saturday, we're sitting, we're joking, we're laughing. His kids, their father's still there. And so guess what? The next day changes. Just like this, we're going to get through this as a world and as a nation. It's just, our lives are going to change for a little bit, and we will adapt. And when it comes to professional wrestling, I guarantee you, on any scale, we will be the first performers out there performing, because we love it and we want to entertain. Yeah.
It's medicine. It's medicine for us. And it's, you feel like you owe the fans. If I go to an arena and I get in that ring and I get a reaction from the fans and I see them booing or cheering or just reacting, I feel like I've done my job. And if I don't, I feel empty inside. The first 2 or 3 months after I retired, I was going through depression, and I didn't realize I was going through depression till somebody told me, like, "Hey man, you don't seem right. You're not the joking, bubbly Mark Henry that we normally see." You know, I'm like, "Well, I don't feel great." You know, this, I was kept making all these excuses, and I got to the point to where it was hard for me to watch wrestling. And then radio happened. And I was able to talk about wrestling. I was able to analyze wrestling. I was able to give some insight to what it looks like from the inside out and talk about the history of wrestling. It gave something to me. It gave me like a new leash on life. And that being said, sometimes it takes a while. Like, don't rush. Everybody's in this big damn hurry. For what? Slow down. Smell the roses. Call somebody and tell them you love them. This is the time to do it. I mean, you know, people always say, give me my flowers while I'm alive. Like, give somebody their flowers today.
Wow. I mean, you're right, Mark. And what we're going to try to be for the nation and even for ourselves, we're going to give you a 3-hour escape. You know, I mean, we know what's going on. It's going to be an underlining theme throughout the next month or two. And we don't know the future of AEW shows, WWE shows, a lot of the independents, you know, WrestleCons. But we're going to be an escape. And there's always something to talk about. I was talking to Doug Mortman. He says, well, if they cancel everything, what are you guys going to talk about? Well, we could talk about WrestleMania 20. We could talk about World Class Championship Wrestling in 1983. There's such a rich history of this sport. There's never going to be a lack of things to talk about on this show.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
It's a Friday. You know it's a Friday.
Tommy,
it's a party.
I told a story with Ryan McKinnon last Saturday.
Who?
Wow. See that heat? See that heat? That's a shame. Y'all need to get over that. Y'all need to do something about that.
No, come on.
Y'all need team bonding.
No, Ryan McKinnell's my guy.
He don't sound like it.
I'm too,
so anyway, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted. What the hell was I talking about?
You said Ryan McKinnell.
The sweetmeat story.
Oh, yeah. I told Ryan the story about he's got a kidney stones. And I was like, I can make you pass that thing. I could just come to Vegas for a small nominal fee, scoop you up in the World's Strongest, spike your ass on the floor, and it's out.
Stuff just falls out of you. I'm live. I got the live colonoscopy.
It happened to Tommy Dreamer. He had like a little lockage in his colon and spike. And
I had the smelliest, hardest Tootsie Roll in my pants ever after that.
Was that from Mark?
Mark, I told you the story. Mark gave me
the
world.
For those who haven't heard it.
Me and Mark are wrestling. This is when they did Tony Atlas United with Mark Henry. And Mark gave me the world's strongest slam on the concrete. I mean, on the floor. And I'm, laying there selling. And Colin Delaney was there. And Colin's like, ugh. And like after Mark, he gets up. He's like, ugh. And, like, I'm not, like, registering anything. And then all of a sudden I do. I smell something pretty bad. And Vince was unhappy with how Mark and Tony walked up the steps and, like, got into the ring together. So he was making them do it over. And the cameraman is telling me, just lay down. And the cameraman is telling Mark, like, Vince wants you to do it because it's a tape show. So they have to come back. And, like, it smells really, really bad. And then, like, I'm like, I know I didn't, like, do anything. And Colin Delaney's selling it, so he didn't do anything. And Mark's selling it. And Mark has a very weak stomach. And he's not, he's selling it. And then I'm like, all right, Tony Atlas maybe dropped, like, an old man protein fart. And he walks over. He's like, oh, man, that's gross. So I'm laying there selling. They go do the thing. I walk in the back. Vince is yelling at Mark and Tony. And I want nothing to do with that, so I go. I take off my pants, and it was weird because I forgot my underwear at the hotel. So I had like my wrestling underwear, but I forgot my clean underwear. So I just pulled down my pants. I went in the shower and I come back, and there was a Tootsie Roll in my underwear, like a big squared Tootsie Roll, like a cube. And I'm looking around, and then I pick it up and I smell it, and it was disgusting. And I remember, like, Lance Cade was there and a few other WCW. No, not there was a few other wrestlers there. It wasn't WCW. This was ECW time, WWE, ECW. And I look in the locker room. I go, which one of you mother effers shit in my pants? And then I went, did I shit in my pants? Because then I remembered, like, the slam. I remembered, like, the people, like, everyone selling it. So then I take my underwear and I run to the doctor and I open it up and I was like, Doc, Mark gave me this slam and like this fell out of me, I think. And he's like, what is it? He goes, it's shit. And I go, why is it in like a perfect square cube? And he's like, did you ever hear the saying, like, you get the shit knocked out of you? And he goes, that's like old meat stuck to your intestines and you got hit with such like a violent hit that it just shot out of you. And I was like, Doc, I know when I shit my pants before, I didn't even feel it. And like I was like worried, like, is my butthole broken? Is, like, stuff going to just keep falling out? And he goes, man, he just delivered with such force. And like, he goes, it's physics and there's weight and there's velocity. And it just shot out of you. And I was just like, oh, okay. Let's go out tonight. Like, that was just a normal, normal Tuesday.
Clean bill of health.
So, yeah, if anyone's got anything stuck in your intestines or Ryan's kidney stone, Mark will just slam your ass to the floor. It's going to cost you now, but...
Yeah, it's not going to be nominal either.
You won't feel a thing. I had, like, a piece of meat from, like, I don't know, when I was, like, 22, just shoot
86.
Right out. That shit was caked against it, but it was good. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
So, Mark, you're really able to just slam the shit out of somebody. Literally.
Literally.
And I remember another time with a Big Show, he stepped on my stomach and I farted for like 45 seconds straight where I was like in the ring and I couldn't like stop it from happening. And it was like every air that was in my body was just like, it was the longest passing of gas, but I couldn't prevent it because he was like standing on me. He's 500 pounds and it was to the point where it hurt. Because all this air was leaving my body.
So it sounds like you were a whoopee cushion.
Kind of. I'm a lot of human, things. I guess we could add that to my resume.
A human whoopee cushion.
See, these are stories you only get when there's not a whole lot of wrestling around.
Yeah, that's
But that's what people want to know. People want to hear stories about wrestling. I mean, that's the reason why we're on here. Like, you know, tell some stories and bring people in. The one thing that I don't like in pro wrestling today, and I hate to be a damn old man, get off my lawn. But, you know, I'm listening to some podcast of other wrestlers, and I could, there's some things that get too sensitive, too personal, too explanatory about the business. I love movies. There's no secret. If somebody came out and said what was going to happen and how they did it, I would be angry. And because I want to be in suspended belief, I want to be in this world of entertainment where I'm not thinking, oh, they did this to do that. Guys, if you're within the sound of my voice, cut it out. There's some things you just don't talk about. You're putting a light on your Oz. You open the curtain and you showed Oz. Like, stop doing that.
All right, so this is interesting, Mark. And Tommy, I want to get your take too. So you both say, you know what, there's a line. Even though, like, this is a different era, this is a different time, there's still a line that people outside should not cross. Is that true?
1,000%. And, you know, it's, there's where you gotta, I always kind of look at it where you put yourself in other people's shoes. Guys, when I was with Scott Steiner in the hospital, I'm with his wife, and his wife, they're not really on social media. And I'm with Scott D'Amore, and he's like, do we say anything? Because the story's now breaking. And it was, you know, it was trending. And then Scott's wife said, our kids don't know, and now they're finding out through social media. Mm-hmm. And social media is saying their father died. And right then and there, I was like, holy crap, how in the hell would you want to find out that news? Or how would you want to read that news if you were Scott Steiner's kids? And
right.
It's also
and
not
it wasn't true.
And it's not true. And that, like, shined a new light on the aspect of social media where, you know, yeah, for me, I always kind of, you know, I don't ever put my real life on social media, even though 90% of my real life is professional wrestling. But, like, I've never really posted a picture of my daughters. I stopped posting pictures of my dogs because they get no social media traction. Like, I'm like, nobody likes my dogs, I guess. But it's still a business, social media. It's not like, hey, you know, I woke up with sniffles today, I think I have coronavirus, or, you know, but that's just me, and that's
people
also
say,
like,
dumb shit like that.
Yes,
though.
Yeah,
and like, stop doing that.
It's
trying to get attention. That's why.
Yeah,
everyone. I don't blame people for doing it. I'm just telling you, for me, you know, that's just how I feel. But yes, there is always a line. Like, because I remember I did post a picture of my daughters, and then someone said my daughters were hot, and then my daughters were 13 years old.
Oh,
and
shoot.
I got this rage that I have no problem killing a person. And I would, if that person would have said that to my face, I would have been arrested. So, like, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And my daughters asked me not to post stuff on social media. So, cool. But yes, there is
a line.
I've
seen your daughters, Tommy. You have a lot to be proud of. They are beautiful, but not in a perverted way. Like, all of these, there's a lot of R. Kelly type people out there, and there's some people that just want attention. They want to incite a riot. Like, I mean, don't do that. Like, can we go a whole day without inciting a riot? Can we go through traffic and not cut somebody off because I just don't want to let this person over?
Right.
Like, stupid stuff. Yeah. There's simple little bitty tiny things that lead to big things. And those are the things we need to correct. And Tommy, just so you know, now I'm curious. I want to see your dogs. So you have to, during the break, post a picture so we can see the dogs, because I'm, you know, I'm a dog guy. Me and Big Show. I've watched Big Show cry when the commercial comes on of like the pound.
Oh yeah.
Like the
And was the Sarah McLachlan song?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I stopped following a few people because they always post like, this dog will be euthanized today in somewhere in Texas. I had to stop following people because they just post that, and I want to help everybody and every dog, and I'm just like, I can't, because I start getting, and I'm not, I don't get any anxiety, but I'm like, I have to do stuff to help save this dog. And you know, and even to the Busted Open Nation, there was a dog that we helped save in New Jersey, and the dog has a beautiful home now, a beautiful cane corso. My friend Ashley, her sister, had to get rid of the dog, and we found the dog a home. So,
I love cane corsos, man.
Yeah, man. Well, if I would, next time there's one, I'll get you one.
Well,
no,
you just
I don't want another. I don't want another one for myself.
Don't get him in trouble. You got enough.
No, I have enough mouths to feed.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Guys, before we get back to the Busted Open Nation, let's talk about some wrestling that we did see this week with AEW and NXT. And I think we should start with NXT since we just spoke to Izzy. I kind of liked the new atmosphere and the new environment of the Performance Center this past Wednesday.
I did, too. I thought it was exciting. I thought that it was just to be able to go through and see the gym and the medical facility. Some of the office area, like they gave a real good insight on what it looks like down there.
Absolutely. And I was really, really touched with what Izzy said about the atmosphere, and kudos to everyone at NXT and always, you know, Full Sail, how they went out of their way for the fans. That stuff you don't hear. And like I always, you know, people want to, you know, rip up and talk about the negative, but those are the very, very positive things that WWE does. And, you know, they're also with the performers, and Mark knows this, I know this, they're, no matter what circumstance any wrestlers are under, and I saw like Tucker wrote something, I started my wrestling career wrestling in front of no people at the PC. I'm so excited to do this on Friday. That's, to steal Mark Henry, that's what we do. And, you know,
that's what we do.
I remember wrestling Bram in a steel cage match on Valentine's Day at 10 o'clock in the morning at Universal Studios for like a one night only pay-per-view. And there was probably 18 to 19 people. And he's meshing my head till I bleed in a steel cage. And as he's pushing my head into the steel cage and I'm yelling harder because I'm not bleeding yet, he's like, why, Tommy, why? And I'm like, just do it. And
I want to kick you in the face right now.
But that's what we do. And, you know, I forgot. I didn't have a chance to talk about it. WWE did one of the better sit-downs, and I always give Jim Ross the great credit for probably being one of the best sit-down interviewers, but Mauro Ranallo and Johnny Gargano's sit-down interview I personally love from 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you what, something happened during that interview where I connected with Johnny, and I know Johnny personally, and I think he's an amazing wrestler. But WWE did these little things that WWE does, and whoever did it should get a raise. If you go back and watch that interview, when Johnny is talking and you see he's getting angry, they blurred Johnny. When they went from Mauro to Johnny, they blurred it. And that's almost movie-esque, where you're feeling the uncomfortableness, or you're feeling the confusion, and it's little subtle things like that like that pre-program you that this man is snapping, and you don't realize when it's happening. I do because I watch wrestling like a crazy person, but if you go back and watch it and watch these little blurred moments when they do it, it's like they come back to him and it's off focus and then they focus it. It you can only catch it for like a second. But little things like that trigger in your mind when you're watching that there's unrest on the television, which means it's unrest in this man's mind. And kudos to whoever did that.
Yeah, I thought, and that was from 2 weeks ago, and I think the last 2 weeks for NXT have been very, very good. And, you know, we talk a lot about here on Busted Open, Mark, about, like, you know, AEW kind of has the advantage over NXT because it's in arenas, because, you know, it's in front of a large audience. I kind of liked what Izzy had to say about just the transportation from Full Sail over to the Performance Center and the buses, that they were chanting, they were having, like, a party on the bus going over to the Performance Center. I mean, that's another thing that wrestling fans do as well.
And I was wondering, like, the parking situation is not great. I mean, there's probably about 40 parking spaces in the front, and the road leading up into the Performance Center is an industrial area. So, I mean, I was just a little bit curious. So that was why I asked the question. But it was really cool that the answer that we got was the WWE had the sense and the wherewithal to know that and to bus the people from Full Sail. That was incredibly smart. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they're the biggest wrestling company in the world, is because they're able to foresee little small problems just like I'm trained to do. Mm-hmm. Tommy is trained to look at a situation and go, you know what? There's only about 40 parking spaces in the front, maybe 30 in the back. How are we going to get 150, 200 cars over here? So they fix that problem. And that's the kind of thing that you got to think of when you run a big company like that.
And one of my favorite things WWE, and it kind of opened my eyes, and I went to Beulah. We were on the bus, and I remember it was WrestleMania, my first WrestleMania, and when they closed, I want to say 7 miles of the highway so wrestlers can get to WrestleMania, and I turned to her, I was like, man, I actually thought ECW could have like made it when I see that we could have a police escort on the buses going to WrestleMania, where they could close highways and basically tell the world stop because we have to go out there and perform. I was like, man, I was a fool. But what Izzy got to experience with the fans, and Mark's been on it, I love getting on the bus. I miss that when going to the Hall of Fame or going to WrestleMania, especially with the Hall of Fame. Everybody's dressed up so nice. You see who gets on. There's also people who are like friends of friends, and you see like kids' eyes like, oh my God, there's Big Show. Oh my God, there's, you know, Mark Henry. All these guys getting on the bus, it's together, and there's people singing, there's wrestlers, you know, making jokes because we're entertainers. And you just, dude, I can remember your son just looking up and like everyone be like, hey, Jacob. Hello, Jacob. This little boy who, you know, looks up to all these WWE superstars, and they're all addressing him because he has such an amazing personality. That's stuff that I miss. And for the fact that, Izzy, you got to feel that with all other fans, because we're all fans too. So, again, nothing but praise to WWE for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's the difference for me and somebody who's been doing radio for well over 20 years. And I covered the NFL for 13 of those 20 years. That's the difference, I think, between pro wrestling and a lot of other sports. Like, there really is, the fan and the performer are at such an arm's length when it comes to other sports.
Yeah.
When with pro wrestling, you really are a community. And more than, and you see it with the WWE, but you see it with a lot of other organizations as well. Like, pro wrestling is so fan friendly. I mean, at the end of an NFL game or before an NFL game, they're not having meet and greets with the players and the fans. But you see that so many times when it comes to the world of pro wrestling. Like, there is no other sport like wrestling that has the fan interaction like you guys do.
No, sure. And nor do you see the NFL players or NBA players or MLB players at the rental car place or in the airports. Mm-hmm. They fly charters. They fly private. You see us at Home Depot. You see us like at the local grocery store, like, you know, at CVS. You know, I mean, it's like we're accessible, and we want to be accessible. We want to have interactions with the fans. There's nothing that I hate more, and I always tell the Reggie Jackson story. Reggie Jackson is an ass. He's at the highest level because you go, hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. I'm not who you think I am. Get the hell out of here. You're Reggie Jackson. You missed October. No, I'm not. Okay. All right, asshat. So there's people like that. You don't hear that many stories. You hear now, there's some wrestlers, like, you don't want to walk up on them, please. And when that happens, there are other wrestlers that's going, hey, come here. Leave him alone. Come talk to me. And they take the heat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which makes you, gives you more infinity for these people. So, I mean, it's a difference. And you're always going to find somebody that's going to have that great story, just like Izzy did, about pro wrestling. And you might have one or two bad ones, but for the most part, we're looking for interaction.
And Tommy, and Tommy, I know you have your story about, you know, with Bob Backlund, and I always have my story that I tell about. I was a diehard New York Yankees fan, and I went to a game, and after a game, Reggie Jackson, Rick Cerrone, Tommy John, like Ron Gidge, like they all walked right by me and gave me the hand, like when I was asking for an autograph. And that night when I got home from that game, I ripped down all my Yankee posters. I threw out my Yankee shirts, and I was never a New York Yankee fan again. Like, you have to take that into consideration. I mean, we do it. You do it as performers. I do it as a host of this show. You know, like, if you ever see me and somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I love Busted Open, I always appreciate the fact
engage
that people
them.
Appreciate me. Yes.
And how weird is it that
what is it going to take? How long is it going to take for me to go, hey, man, I appreciate you, man. Like, I'm running. They got me by the short hairs right now, but I appreciate you being a fan. Please continue. That's it. Don't take damn 30 seconds.
And Mark, you won't remember those 30 seconds, but that fan will remember those 30 seconds for the rest of their life.
Reggie Jackson, like, I've had three or four people go, oh, that's just Reggie being Reggie. How the hell did he ever make it? I mean, I guess hitting all them damn home runs might have had something to do
with
it.
And the Reggie bars were damn good, too.
Yeah, they were pretty good. But it's so many stories that I've heard, not just him, but, you know, the negativity in sports that makes that will make you not want to be a fan of those people. If I was the owner, just like Vince, you know how many times people walk up to Vince and they want to shake his hand? They just want to say hi. I've never seen Vince say no. Never.
I agree.
In 25 years, I've never seen him say no.
And he was a germaphobe before germaphobes became cool.
Right. I mean, him and Howard Mandel, they
were precursors to all this.
Oh, my God. They're like monk. Vince is like, where's my hand sanitizer? Like, I mean, it's you walk in his office, like the production meeting, he'll have like Red Bull, Coke, Sprite, a couple of little snacks, and hand sanitizer, right? In the meeting room. Like, that is Vince. And I don't see nothing wrong with, you know, people being that way, but it's the thing that I don't appreciate is the, I don't have time for you. Like, it's 30 seconds.
Yep.
30 seconds. All of you celebrities out there that listen to the show, all you wrestlers, it's 30 seconds, man. It don't take but 30 seconds to make somebody's life and make them love what we do enough that, you know what, you may never see that $30 or $40 that they spend for a pay-per-view, but the business will. You want to shoot the business in the face? That's what you're doing every time you put the hand in somebody. Nah, I can't do it. You know, keep it moving. You know, I mean, I've heard and seen some stuff, guys, and it's deplorable. Please don't be that way.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I post pictures all the time of me doing things. I post a picture with a barbed wire in my testicle for the people on social media.
Yeah.
And
whoa.
Mark said I was a good-looking man from it.
Yeah, Tommy was a good-looking dude. I don't know if you got to repost that, Tommy. You got to do it again.
You got it.
So everybody can see you when you was 25 and dashing.
Thank you.
Well, he's still a handsome man, but yeah, it is a problem, though, if you're handsome and you have barbed wire.
More miles than a Greyhound bus.
You want to try to avoid the barbed wire to the testicles, though.
Oh, man. Don't even say that again.
It's happened.
That could be an issue.
I got a few weird scars in certain places, and sometimes when I have to pull out the little dreamers.
Whoa, easy.
I have to be like, oh, yeah, no, that's not a venereal disease. That's a scar from a barbed wire. You can touch it. You can touch it. Sometimes enough. Or you just do it with the lights off.
Oh, boy. Hey, whatever gets it going. 877-344-8993 877-FIGHT-93 Tommy, you want to go back to the nation?
Absolutely. I'm going to go.
I don't deserve all this joy.
You know what? Thank God for this show today. It's been such a great escape, but I've never laughed so much than this show this morning. I hope we're doing the same for the Busted Open Nation.
Let's see. Let's go out to Victor in Tampa. Victor,
ooh,
how are you?
Guys. Hey, guys, how are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, so I just want to let you guys know about WrestleMania. I live in Tampa. I got tickets to WrestleMania. First time ever going. So excited. Praying is not canceled because I think wrestling is an outlet for a lot of people. And I think with this event coming up, it's going to be an outlet for a lot of people, especially with this virus going around. So I just wanted to get your take to see how some of the wrestlers are feeling. I love the show. I only got serious because of your show. So I love you guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you
so much. Thank you for the compliment as well. So, guys, what do you think about what might be going through the minds of some of the wrestlers right now?
I know for me, I just had two events get canceled in Maryland, and it wasn't because of the promoter. It was because of the government was shutting that down. I was prepared to drive tomorrow 5 hours to wrestle in Maryland, and then I would probably drive to Jimmy Seafood, eat a whole lot of food, not feel good in my bed afterwards, and then wrestle in Baltimore. And then I was going to fly to California Monday, which I'm still doing, and I'm going to work all week in Cali, and then I flew home Friday. And I was going to drive to Albany, and that show has now gotten canceled because the governor of New York has canceled the show. So for me, I'm going to work as always until I'm told not to, or when they cancel the shows. So that's my mindset. There's other people. It's a much different business. Like, you know, even when everything happened to Scott Steiner I learned from Vince McMahon and, you know, they were like, well, what do we do? And I was like, Scott is alive and making a full recovery this the next day. But we still have to, you go out there as a company and say, if anyone doesn't want to work because of what happened yesterday, or you feel uncomfortable or anything, it's okay. And not one wrestler didn't work. Not one wrestler raised their hand. That was it. And it was like, okay, cool. Let's go back to work, have a hell of a show. Boom, done. You know, Mark was in WWE when everything happened with Owen Hart, and that was a big controversy going on at that time. But again, Scott Steiner. I'm with him on Saturday. And, you know, when we're talking about, and even his wife is like, yeah, he has a show this coming up Saturday. And she's like, I'm telling him he's not going. And he's like, I'll make that decision. And that's our mentality. And, you know, I don't know. I know Bully Ray is in Vegas now. Bully flew to Vegas and he was there. And then what did they do? Ring of Honor canceled the show because they had to cancel show. And Bubba's like, I'm coming back. But he went out there, got on a plane, did all those things because that's what we do.
Wow. And you know what, man? Like, just bringing up these memories, you know, today is actually the 11th anniversary of Andrew Martin's passing. Love Tess. He was a good dude. You know, one of those guys that was diagnosed with CTE, had some problems. We lost him. But you know what? He is not forgotten. He never will be. That's the beauty of this business. Even in our darkest, most painful moments, people will always remember us. And I take a lot of solace in the fact that when my day comes, 100 years from now, somebody will bring my name up. And I won't be here to see it. But I will know that I'll live a long time. Like, you know, so that's the thing about pro wrestling, too. It's an honor thing. It's like we're modern day gladiators and people revere us like modern day gladiators. And I just love it, man. I love this business and I love the fans and I appreciate the fans. That's what it is. I don't just love them. I appreciate it. It's easy to tell somebody, hey, man. Thanks. You're awesome. But for somebody to say, hey, man, listen, you got me through a tough time. Like our brother in Puerto Rico. He was going through something, and we go through it together. And I had wrestling to save me. So multiple times. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
And, Mark, because I've done a lot of research about this, too, and talked to athletes – you know, for you who's been competing your whole life, and they say retiring is equivalent to a person dying for an athlete, and you don't know what to do with yourself, or it's like one of those first times where you're like, man, I'm at home, I don't have to do anything. It's hard on the brain, it's hard on the psyche, besides, you know, all the chair shots, all the bumps that we've taken, and... you know, a lot of people don't have that resurgence that you have because, like, me and Dave have said, and people have said, like, I never realized how good of an analyst you are, especially when I see you on, you know, WWE backstage. And, like, mm-hmm. It's like you were meant to do this. And I knew, like, when I told you about the XFL and I just hit you up, I was like, dude, because I see your passion for sports. You should be doing this with the XFL. Because, yeah, we have our ins. And, like, for me, it's like everyone – I could talk sports all day, but everyone wants to know you as the wrestler that could talk sports where right, you almost right. get typecast. But, you know, man, you're – the best part about what we do, and especially, like, with your relationship, like, who would ever thought, like, you'd go to Saudi Arabia and be back in that battle royal? And that's because of your hard work and what you've done. And the beauty of our business, like I just tagged with Tommy Rich this past Thursday. And Tommy Rich was somebody that I got to, you know, look up to. And like, I love Georgia Championship Wrestling. For you, you could always, you know, either pick up a call and say, hey, Vince, I want to, can I be in that battle royal? Can I go to this program? Or hell, you could do it on any indie show that you want just to get a taste of it. And I know it's not what you're used to. But like you said, your contributions to this business and how you've helped the next generation, you will live forever. And like I told you this all the time, man, I would wrestle every single match with you to the end of my career because that's how good you became. You learned from all your mistakes. And I'm not just praising you, but, you know, I'm not praising you because you're my friend or because we're on the air. There's other wrestlers that go through this. And, you know, Scotty Riggs is one. And he talked about on social media, like, hey, man, I'm having a hard time in my life. Don't know if I want to be here. And he reached out on social media, and he said that, and I immediately hit him up, and he was like, you okay? And I saw Buff Bagwell at Indie Show, and I told him about that. He was like, oh, my God, I'm going to call him up. And that's all it does is take for anyone who's going through a sad point, and we're all going to be going through a sad point during this time in our lives because it's fear, and it's fear of the unknown, but we have each other. And if it's a caller, if it's reaching out to somebody on social media, I would have friggin' killed somebody just to talk to a wrestler because I wanted to get into wrestling because back then it was such a close-knit business. Now we're all at our fingertips, and there are so many people out there who are about positiveness and helping others, and we're all going to need that now. So, Mark, I love you, and anytime you want to wrestle House of Hardcore, we'll book you at a reduced rate.
Hell yeah. I'm digging it. And thank you, Tommy. I appreciate that.
You got it.
Well, there's a lot from what Tommy just said, Mark. And you know, I know you and you're an emotional person. I know that it means a lot to you, as it should, that 100 years from now, people will be speaking your name. 100 years from now, people will be speaking Tommy's name because of what you both done for pro wrestling. And being that we have streaming services now, who knows what we're going to have 100 years from now, that they could still watch your matches from 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But also, too, like, you guys are, you know, from the same cloth, from the same road, but where you got to that road, completely different, and even what you're doing now, but the fact that you're both able to come on a show like Busted Open and talk to the fans, like Tommy just said, yeah. It, like, yeah, I never would have imagined that there would be an outlet like this where I'd be able to call into a show, not only listen to two of my heroes, but be able to interact with two of my heroes. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're able to do nowadays.
How about me driving, listening for pilot sports shows, and I hear you and Doug, and I call you and I go, hey, man, I appreciate you loving wrestling and not trying to expose wrestling. I really appreciate that. And that's how we ended up becoming friends, based off just a dry call, because I mean, to hear something positive about pro wrestling, you know, 12 years ago, that was – man, it was unheard of. You know, like, everything was dirt sheets and people talking negatively about wrestling. And you know that when they bleed, they cut themselves. And stupid stuff. Like, I don't even want to get into it all. But, like, the people trying to expose the business just – it hurt me. And it was refreshing. And I knew after that conversation that – you and I and Doug had, that I would be friends with y'all, that I would keep up with you and call you periodically, because if you needed me to come on the show and big you up, that I would do that. And now we're co-hosts. That's crazy.
And just the credibility that you bring, that Tommy brings, that Bully brings to this show as well. I'm always going to be the crazy fan. I don't live in your world. You guys have done an amazing job of letting me at least take a peek of what your world is like, but I'll never know what it's going to be like to travel like you guys have done, to work one show and go right to another show, or even just the camaraderie that you have in a locker room. I never experienced that, but that's why I appreciate even today.
Nor do you need to.
And you know what? That's fine. I like being a spectator to that. And just here I am, the host and creator of this show, and then I'm sitting, you know, listening to the stories just from today's show about what's taking place in the locker room and in the ring. I mean, that's just such a unique experience. And I just hope that, I know that for myself, I don't take it for granted. I hope that the fans don't take it for granted either.
How about the camaraderie that we have as co-hosts, and we go to events, and the WrestleMania party is canceled or postponed or however you want to spin it. But when we're together, when we're all in the same room, that's exactly what the locker room is like, Dave. Mm-hmm. And you're telling stories, you're laughing, talking about your kids, your wife, your relationship, like what's going on. I get to sit and, you know, it's always going to be food conversation. We're always going to try to figure out where's the good place to go eat. And, like, That's what it is. It's just it happens 250 days a year.
Well, you're talking about food. I'm not far from the kitchen. I can smell that Violette is already starting to make lunch for today.
Oh man!
And you know, in 10-year anniversary party, you guys got to taste the pierogi. So
well, I'm going to leave here, Dave. Excuse me, and I'm going to go pick up some boudin and some smoked turkey necks and smoked turkey hocks from a guy that came from Louisiana, and I put an order in. Oh, you going to Louisiana? Hey, do me a favor. Stop in Scott, Louisiana at Don Seafood and get me some crackling and some boudin. And like all the Cajuns across the country are going, ooh, he said boudin. But like that's my day. I'm going to go and get something to eat.
I can't believe that a three-time Hall of Famer, this is why he is it, because he has a turkey neck guy. I don't even have that. He has a turkey neck guy.
Listen, man, smoked turkey necks are unbelievable. You can put them in greens. You can put them in spinach. You know, like, I mean, there's so many things. Or you could just, you know, roast them and just eat turkey necks and lick your fingers. Well, make sure you wash your hands.
And you have a crackling guy too, because I know firsthand in New Orleans you got a crackling guy.
Oh yeah, man, Don Seafood, baby. If you never heard of it, I look, Don's, y'all send me some free shit because I'm shouting y'all out right now. I'm shouting you out from the tallest mountaintop, the number one sports show in America. We're not taking a day off. We're not taking a break. We're none of that. Don Seafood, I'm telling you, the crackling is ridiculous. They'll mail it to you. You can order boudin, seafood, whatever, and they'll put it in a airtight, dry ice, and you'll be in your house in 24 hours.
When breaking news happens, we have you covered on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
Growing concerns surrounding the coronavirus are reaching a tipping point. The NBA suspending its season.
This isn't a basketball story. This is not an American sports story. This is a global story.
This is worst case scenario. I would have much preferred to watch games without the fans.
We did the right thing because we don't want it to snowball.
Hear the latest news on NBA Radio, Sirius 207, XM 86.
It is Friday the 13th, so you know what? Stay away from the virus and stay away from Jason Voorhees because he'll stab you.
Absolutely. I was born on Friday the 13th. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
Today is my daughter's sweet 16. I feel bad because a lot of their friends have canceled.
Aww.
I feel badder for my wallet because I paid for 100 people and now I got about 60 people. But it's all going to go down. Big party.
Oh, happy birthday. That's awesome.
The Twin Invaders are 16 and driving.
Wow. Sick. Wow. Oh, geez. Scary times.
Yeah.
Scary times.
I told them they could pick a car or a party, and they chose a party, those marks.
Wow. Good. That's awesome. They are marks. That's fantastic. Also want to give a shout out to our intern today, intern Mike, who does a phenomenal job, probably the greatest intern we've ever had at SiriusXM. And he is in the studio working today, so kudos to intern Mike, who, you know, had the option to stay home, and he decided to work. So thank you, intern Mike, for coming in today.
And let's go to Kansas City. What do you think?
Okay.
Bob the Book Guy. You called it. You're the host. We're going to dedicate the rest of the show to the nation. So Bob the Book Guy in Kansas City.
Bob!
Hey, good to hear from you guys. Let's try and keep things on a positive here today. I just wanted to give kind of a shout out or some kudos to AEW. You know, they were recently did a show in Kansas City, and they were kind enough to donate some tickets to my daughter, who's best friend, and they donated some tickets for our team. And actually, we have a powerlifting group, and that's mainly who went and got to meet Cody and Dustin. Actually, our strongest man arm wrestled Cody. It was just a wonderful time. Mark, you might appreciate how strong our guy is. He benches 335, squats 495, and deadlifts 520. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of negative out there right now, but I think it's just important that we appreciate how the wrestling world gives back to those. So love listening to you guys every day. Try to remember to mention Rufus R. Jones whenever you can. I loved him growing up on TV. Thanks, guys, and stay well.
You got it, my friend. And Rufus R. Jones, I always give a thank you. Maybe I don't thank him enough, but I will now. Tommy Dreamer always gets me these amazing T-shirts. And he actually says he has one for me now that is the best one he's ever given me. But I can't believe it, because my favorite T-shirt, without a doubt, is the Rufus R. Jones T-shirt he gave me about 6-7 months ago.
King Rufus R. Jones.
Yes. King of Mid-Atlantic Rufus R. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
We should do it. That's another. This goes back to what Mark said earlier. At one point, we got to do the most underrated wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
Because on that list, to me, is Rufus R. Jones.
I think you'll be the only one including that list. But you and that's Bob from Kansas City. Hey, did you guys talk about Gronk, that football player, signing with the WWE?
We're supposed to, though.
So much we haven't talked about.
Oh, my God. That's
some big-ass news. See, all this stuff gets swept away with the coronavirus and all that negative. But there's a positive with Gronk signing with the WWE. That's a gigantic pickup.
But did he actually sign? Because I heard that he didn't sign.
As of?
That he had the paperwork, but it hadn't been.
Has it been submitted?
Yeah, is that true?
I don't know. You talk to Ryan Satin. He's your boy on WWE backstage. I don't know. He was the one who reported it.
Well,
why
Ryan
gotta be
Satin,
my boy?
Because you work with him.
Ryan Satin's awesome, and Ryan Satin's a listener to the show.
I'll
hopefully he's listening right now. Ryan Satin on WWE backstage said that he was close to signing with the WWE. He didn't say it was official. He said it was close to signing, but there's been multiple reports since then that said that Gronk has signed. Well, whether he's close to signing, has signed, or hasn't submitted the paperwork yet, I think it's a big positive for the WWE that Gronk is close to being a WWE superstar.
Yeah, and I heard what Bully said on Monday. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday. And I don't agree with there going to be an issue. Those days are over. Like the old veteran in the locker room that's thinking the guy's going to steal his spot and is going to do everything to sabotage the guy. That I think that kind of ended with me. And I made the comment today that I was Gronk, that they paid me a lot of money to come in and learn to be what I ended up becoming. But at the beginning, I was not. And I don't think Gronk has always been respectable to me. He's been respectful to other wrestlers. He comes in the locker room. He knows his role. And, you know, he realized that he's a guest. Now he's not going to be a guest. He's going to be a talent. And even though he's going to be a young learning talent, nonetheless, those days of the old hazing and everything, it's over with. We don't do that. We want Gronk to be a success. He's high profile. Just like Ronda Rousey came in, they already had a name. People know who they are. You're going to cross promote. You're going to go into other genres in sports. And Gronk is going to be beneficial to the WWE when all of this corona stuff is over with.
Yeah, I agree, and we also don't know what he's going to be doing for WWE. If he could be, I mean, he's a pretty good analyst, you know. And the whole deal with Fox and Fox's bring in different people, he could be another person you could see on backstage. If he is going to be wrestling, you have to earn your stripes, and just like how he did when he first came to the NFL, he's going to have to learn his stripes. We all talked about this on this show about Ronda Rousey with her first match, and her first match was amazing, and her debut at WrestleMania, she had the right opponents. If he does, you know, adapt to wrestling, that'll be hard. I mean, the one being the athlete that he was, I mean, hell, think of the athlete that you were, and you know, you with your size could dunk a basketball. You had all this ability, and how hard it was for you to get it. Gronk coming over, You know, that's one thing, as well as, you know, Gronk has a history and he's gone public about it with his concussions. And, you know, that could be an issue too. So, you know, we could wait and see. But Gronk is definitely a personality that you would definitely want to help your brand, because he's worldwide. He has a hell of a brand for himself. And I don't know him, never met him. If he gives me a signed football, I'll like him more. And, you know, that's how you have to
cheap,
be great
shameless
in the locker
room. Plug.
I like free stuff, and I want that, and a Tom Brady. I want his
and
ring.
And I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
I want Tom Brady's ring, and I won't shit in your bag, Steve Gronkowski, when you come to a WWE show.
That's good. See, again, I hope Gronk is listening. Maybe we can get him as a guest. I would love to have Gronkowski on.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.